What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Strive for Strength podcast. I'm your host, Kendall Strample. I'm an online wealth and business coach for fitness professionals, as well as an online health and fitness coach. I scaled my fitness coaching company to multiple seven figures, and now I'm helping other online fitness professionals do the same thing in a way that's structured, in a way that highlights their visionary aspects, and also in a way that's really freaking fun. So let's get into today's episode. Okay, so it's been a minute since I've been on the podcast game, and if I'm being super honest with you guys, I just could not figure out which platform I wanted to pour into the most. And recently I've gotten really a lot of my time back. And so I figured, why not just go full send on content? And I've been pouring into my YouTube. I've been pouring a crap ton into my Instagram and even Facebook group. And I was like, okay, your girl has been really wanting to have her voice be heard even more. Where's the best place to do that? Obviously on a podcast. So I am back at it with my podcast game, and I'm really excited to just be sharing with you guys a lot of the insight that I've gotten over the last, especially 6 months of running my fitness coaching company, but also business coaching, because I've seen so many shifts in the market. I've seen so many trends just changing. And if this is your first episode that you're listening to, buckle in. I have tons of old episodes that are absolutely amazing, but I'm really excited to just share with you guys what is coming. So I figured, why not start it off with something that I know so many coaches have been struggling with, and also really the fundamental to scaling a multiple six-figure or even seven-figure company. And if you guys know anything about me as a business coach, something that I'm obsessed with is creating more monthly reoccurring revenue in your business, securing more clients on a monthly basis, and really creating a healthy, sustainable business over time. And that requires for you to have consistent lead generation, but it also requires you to be able to retain the current clients that you're working with. And so what I want to speak to you guys about today, and take some notes, okay, because she is going to be a good episode, okay? I have been on one. I want to talk to you guys about how to create more compliance with your clients, because I know as coaches, well, first off, let me just say, we need to normalize this, okay? You're not going to get everybody in your program result, and not every single person in your program is going to reach that 110%. And I think we need to normalize that in the coaching space, because I think a lot of us think that we are doing an awful job or that we're a shitty coach if we don't get every single person in our program the absolute best result possible. And here's the thing, is you can give your all as a coach. You can go above and beyond as a coach. You can take them through the system that you know works for them. You can calibrate it so that it matches their communication style. And sometimes people still don't want it enough for themselves to actually get progress. And now, if you guys know me, if you know anything about my social media platform, I'm all about pre-qualifying the people who come into your program. You really should be setting yourself up to bring in clients who are ideal. You should be working towards bringing in people who you know are a great fit for your program, and you shouldn't be signing people in that aren't a great fit. But if we're being real with ourselves, right? That person, they can come in pre-qualified. They can answer all the questions correctly. But sometimes things come up where we need to look at, have we set proper expectations with our clients? Have we actually reinforced those expectations consistently to where we're having clients who are more compliant? We're having clients who are showing up for themselves. And I don't know about you guys, but I love when my clients are compliant. I love getting clients in the door that maybe sometimes lack compliance, but with the right expectation setting, those clients start to show up for themselves. Those clients start to be more consistent. And in today's episode, what I really want to talk to you guys about is how to set client expectations so that you can help retain more clients. You can also help your clients become more compliant. And also, because they're more compliant, they're going to be getting better results. And so, of course, that makes retention easier. It makes getting referrals easier. And let's be real, like that's your job as a coach. So how can we set these expectations? What kind of expectations should we be setting for clients? And how do we reinforce those? So what really is a client expectation? Let's break that down. Okay. When you get somebody who is coming into your program, my biggest recommendation, and this is definitely for another episode, which I already have planned, but when you get someone who's coming into your program, when you're marketing to them, when you're selling to them, your main objective should be to empower people to sign up to your program. If you're already having to chase somebody down just to sign up, it's more than likely you're going to have to chase them to follow protocols. And if we're being super honest with ourselves, that creates a really codependent relationship. And that's actually not conducive to the client seeing any progress. And so what we really want to do is we want to create a co-empowering relationship with our clients. We want to show our clients and lead the way. I always like to give the lighthouse and the tugboat analogy. It's like you want to be the lighthouse, exemplifying and embodying the integrity of what your program upholds. And you want to be leading and guiding your clients to come towards you as a lighthouse, right? Versus being a tugboat where you're constantly having to pull them along. You're having to, you know, try to get them to check in with you. You're having to chase them down because they haven't checked in with you. We don't want to create a level of codependency in our relationship with clients. We want our clients to be co-empowered. We want them to take action because it's what they want to do for themselves. And that ultimately is what creates independence for the client, right? And so as coaches, one of the best ways to do this is not only empower people to sign up for your program by your marketing strategies, your sales strategies, but also making sure you are pre-qualifying people through your sales process. And the minute that someone sees your content and the minute that they get into your sales process, that's where all the expectation setting should happen. And I think a lot of people think that expectation setting happens throughout the program. That's where expectation setting should be reinforced. So as a coach, our biggest job is actually to set expectations the minute we sell someone into our program and even before, and then reinforce them when they're onboarded, reinforce them when things come up where they need to be reinforced. So how do you do this? Okay, that's like the golden question. How are you able to do this? The first thing is that when you're on a sales call, I want you to take this into consideration. We always ask pre-qualifying questions. Like I said, I have another episode that I'll be talking about this, but always ask pre-qualifying questions. Ask why now is the best time. Ask why you. You want that person to tell you why they're going to commit to themselves. Because if we're being honest, being in the science of behavior change, our main goal is to commit people to themselves to be able to make a change, to shift their habits. And we shouldn't have to handhold them through that. And so when we're on a sales call with somebody, we don't want to tell them, we're going to handhold you, we're going to accommodate, we're going to adjust everything. Everything's so customizable, because when you do that, not only are you giving away your power, but you're breaking down your own structures to try and make someone else happy. And that's a really bad false expectation, because you know that if your client isn't following protocol, you know that if you set up a specific standard for your client to reverse diet and they say, oh, you know what, I'm just not going to do that. We all know as coaches, if we give up our own structures and we break our own principles to try and appease someone else, we're just enabling them. If what they're currently doing isn't working, we need to call them out and reset the expectation. And so that's done on the sales call itself. Okay, so I want to make that really, really clear, is that on the sales call, that's where it all starts. And even in your content, honestly, but it's reinforced through the sales call. Now let's talk about the onboarding process, okay? I have become such a sucker for really setting client expectations within the first 48 hours. Your onboarding process needs to be seamless, okay? It needs to tell people step by step what you expect from them. And we've actually integrated some really cool things in our onboarding process that we teach our clients inside of our program that have really supported our clients getting super bought into not just their own progress and commitment, but also to the vision, to show them, hey, this is the path. This is where we're walking with you and beside you. And this is what we expect from you in order for you to see progress. And this is how you're actually going to see the best amount of progress if you uphold these specific things. And so the minute that someone gets onboarded, what we're doing is, I'm not sure if you guys have heard of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, but I'm a really big sucker for certain aspects of NLP. And I got NLP certified, I think like 2 years ago now. And it's a really great way to integrate sales. And when you do this, you essentially you're using language to help kind of future pace somebody, to let somebody know, hey, this is where we're going to proceed moving forward. And so on the sales call, one of the first things I will do, right, and you have to really look at your values and ask yourself, like, what's the behavior that you want your clients to take through the program? What kind of things do you want the client to embody as they walk through the program? And that helps you reverse engineer what kind of expectations to set. So for me personally, I really, really want my clients to be engaged. I don't think everyone needs to use a group chat. I don't think everyone values community the way that I do, but I want my clients to be active in the group chat. And so the minute that we're on the sales call and they sign up, I will tell them, hey, this is exactly what's going to happen in the next 24 hours. And this is exactly what I expect from you in the next 24 hours. So they know exactly from the minute that I get started with them, I have expectations from them, as well as they will have expectations from me to show up as a coach. So that's one of the first things we do. When I am on the sales call at the end, or if one of our closers is on the sales call at the end, we'll say, in the next 24 hours, you're going to go ahead and join the group chat. I'll send you the link right now. We send the link on the call. So they join right away. Once they do that, we say, hey, we use the group chat a lot. Okay, this is where that language comes in. We do have a really popping off group chat. I will be super honest. Our group chat is freaking amazing. But we'll say, hey, like a lot of people use it. We are really active in it. So we'd love for you to just go introduce yourself. And you're already kind of future pacing them, letting them know, hey, look, like this is a community. This is what we do here. And so that alone helps us really involve them in the group. The second thing we'll do is say, hey, look, like this is a contract. We need you to sign the contract. And any other expectations we might have just within the first 24 hours for them to open their onboarding, for them to go through their onboarding, and then for them to go through the first few steps that we have just for them to be successful, which I will share with you guys. Okay, so that's what we do within those first 24 hours and on that sales call. We'll also tell them what we expect from them, right? Which I said is like going through the onboarding, making sure they're opening the welcome email. And then after that, they have really clear direction on exactly what to do. People love processes. Okay. People love processes. So guys, make things processes, make them step by step, give them 3 to 5 steps. It's the easiest way for people to buy into your process. When they understand there is a process, number one, and when they understand that there are steps to the process and why, they are going to love that. Okay. Most people who work with me specifically are analytical. They're really result driven. And so because of that, they want to see the steps. They're like, tell me exactly what is going to happen, right? And that's what we do within the first 24 hours. Now, something I'm really big on is working with innovators. I work with visionaries. I work with women who literally think about the craziest shit. They like want to build these massive companies and they want to do it all at once. And so one big thing for me is really setting the pace and the tone in the beginning. So in our onboarding, here's the key. I'm jumping in finally. I know we've been chatting a lot, but here is the key. With our client expectation setting, here's what we do in the first 24 hours. I said to you guys, you know, we send out the welcome email. It's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. We have a step-by-step of helping our clients understand what it takes to succeed in our program. I'm really big on creating a culture of autonomy. I work with big visionaries, like I said. They want the steps, but also they want to create them themselves. And that's what being an entrepreneur is, right? Being a true entrepreneur is having a vision and getting guidance toward the vision, but also you're making a path that no one ever has ever created before. No one's ever created the path that you're looking to walk. And so, yes, I can give you the steps, but I'm not building you a business in a box, right? Because that's just taking away your voice. That's taken away from your vision specifically. And so within the first 24 hours, when I work with students, I make it very well known to them that, hey, I give you the structure. The structure is the thing. The structure is the thing that creates flow. So I'm going to give you the structure to help you stay on task. I'm going to give you the structure to help you stay committed to your vision. And I'm going to give you the structure so that we don't have decision fatigue. You're not oscillating back and forth, right? It's going to happen at some point. Happens, right? We're human. But how do we avoid the oscillation to just help you make more decisions faster and faster? And so when we're setting expectations with my clients, one of the first things I'm going to do with our students is tell them, hey, this is the structure. Here's how you can create more flow. I expect you to use your mind. I expect you to use your brain. I expect you to step up and ask questions. And I let them know how to do that. And so in the first 24 hours, these are the expectations that we set. I send out my clients a survey. And this survey is basically a questionnaire of commitments. Okay. And this was actually something one of my students handed to me, who is incredible. She had this in her program. And I was like, this is one of the most genius things I've ever seen. It's called 10 promises. And so in the 10 promises, I think something I really want you guys to take away from this that's really important is you have to ask yourself, what is the intention? What kind of promises do you want your clients to commit to keep them on task? And when I really sat and I thought about it, I was like, well, I want my clients to reach out to me for support. I want my clients to make sure that they are messaging me before they spiral. That's a big one, right? I want to make sure that my clients are fully committed to their own vision and that I also want to make sure when I call them out, they're open and receptive to that. And so in these promises, what I did essentially was I had my clients create conscious agreements with themselves and with me and with our coaching staff. And in these 10 promises, what we do is we basically have the client commit to an expectation. When they commit to this expectation, what ends up happening is because they've made a conscious agreement with themselves, I can always bring that back up to reinforce it if they ever feel like they don't want to commit. And so I want to give you guys an example of this in a fitness perspective. In one of our 10 promises, one of the questions that we ask, or one of the statements that the clients have to agree to, is I commit to communicating with my coach prior to spiraling. Now, as a coach, we know how it feels when a client spirals. I'm sure you've experienced it and we all know how tough it can be. And also something to think about is if a client spirals, oftentimes it's kind of out of our scope, right? It usually has a lot to do with something that is involved with anxious attachment or baggage or trauma. And so one of the commitments I made to my clients is, hey, I'm a preventative kind of person. It is not my job to pull you out of a spiral, and it is way harder for me to pull you out of a spiral than it is for me to be preventative of the spiral. Let's actually make a conscious agreement to navigate that before it even happens. And so because of that, I'm now installing a belief, and I'm also installing an expectation that my clients are going to come to me before that would even happen. And so now if it does happen in the future, obviously I'm going to let my client recalibrate, but I'm also going to address it afterwards and say, hey, look, we made a conscious agreement that we would communicate before it got to this point. So let's look at, what do we need to do to be preventative next time? Do we need to have a recalibration process? Do we need to have some kind of meditative practice? Do we need to do some kind of central nervous system regulation beforehand so that we can be preventative? And that alone not only helps me reinforce the expectation, but it also helps me be preventative in the future for the client. So with fitness coaching clients, I think something that's really important to take into account is that we want to create autonomy. Now, something I don't really love is when my clients come to me and they say, what should I eat? What should I do? Because let's be real, as coaches, again, our goal is to co-empower, not create codependency. And so if a client comes to you and says, hey, what should I eat? Well, there's a lot that goes with that. Okay. What are their current macros, right? If you have them on macros, what do they have in their kitchen? What kind of food do they have left in their day? And also, if you just tell them what to eat, like, are they even going to like that? Do they even have it in their kitchen? Does it even fill their macros? You know, what macros they have left. And so this is a really great expectation to set with your clients. I actually tell my clients what questions they can't ask me. So I usually tell them in my expectation setting in the beginning of my program, I walk them through the 10 promises and I say, you commit to asking questions by giving me your thought process first. And so this helps you navigate situations with your clients better. So instead of a client saying, hey, what should I eat? They can come to you and say, hey, look, I have 20 grams of carbs left, 10 grams of fat, and only 3 grams of protein. I'm really struggling to figure out what to fit my macros with. This is what I'm thinking I could eat. I'm just not sure how to create a portion size that's going to help me reach the macro breakdown. That would be such a great way for your client to ask the question instead of them saying, hey coach, what should I eat? Right? Because you don't know if you can even look in their, you can't go look in their fridge, right? And tell them what they have left. And so that kind of sets the expectation for your clients to better ask questions. So when you do this within the first 24 to 48 hours, now, obviously you don't want to overload your clients with a crap ton of expectations to the point where they're like, oh my gosh, is this just like solid expectation setting? Am I actually going to get macros from this? Am I actually going to get progress from this? Of course, right? Like, we want to make sure we give them that safety. But when it comes to the program itself, in the first 48 hours, having those 10 promises and future pacing them and telling them, hey, look, this is my expectation of you on a level of communication. This is an expectation I have from you for when you spiral. This is how I expect you to ask questions. And I think another big thing, right, is if we look at some of the principles we want our clients to embody, we want our clients to be open-minded. We want our clients to challenge themselves. We want our clients to be okay with when they're triggered, getting curious about it. And so when you ask them to agree to those things in the beginning, that already sets the tone for the rest of the program that they're with you. Not only that, but let's be honest, like, our clients fall off sometimes, right? Like, sometimes they don't check in. Sometimes they, you know, they go over on their macros, whatever. They miss a workout. Sometimes it happens, okay? And they're human. And I think it's important for us as coaches to just help them get right back on track by simply recommitting and saying, hey, look, like, we committed to being open. We committed to having communication when you're going to skip a workout. We committed to having communication when, you know, you're not on your macros so that we can actually recalibrate. So what do we need in order to recommit to that? And so you just get to reinforce it. Not only that, but if a client kind of hits you with the, hey, I don't feel supported, and they haven't reached out to you in 6 weeks, well, and you've been reaching out to them, right? It's like, hey, look, like, I want to reinforce what we talked about when we first started. You committed to reaching out to me when you felt like things weren't 100%. You committed to reaching out to me when, you know, you felt like things were falling off. And so when you have the client make that conscious agreement when they first start working with you, you can easily pull them right back in to reinforce them. And also, you can ask, if they're not being reinforced, what do you need to do? What belief needs to shift, right? Because a lot of the times we think we need to give them more to do, like, hey, you're not communicating with me. Like, I need to answer questions. Well, maybe you need to really dive deep with them and say, hey, like, do you feel safe asking me questions? You know, is there a belief you have around asking me questions? And maybe the client's sitting there thinking, hey, I look stupid for asking you a question. And so what we need to do as coaches is evaluate what's needed in order for them to shift that behavior, in order for them to actually embody and embrace the expectation that we're setting with the client, so that they don't feel stupid asking questions, so they feel safe being able to come to you, so that you guys can work together and collaborate more to make more progress. And so when you set these expectations initially, it already allows for you to pull that back in when you need to reinforce them. And I say when, because it is going to happen at some point. Okay. Now, don't get me wrong. There are going to be times where clients are in a rut or things come up where, you know, they're just at a low point. And especially if you've been working with a client for a long time and they go through some personal stuff and, you know, you have to pull in those conscious agreements and sometimes look and say, hey, look, this is what we agreed to. I know right now agreeing to them and reinforcing them is hard. So like, where can we meet in the middle? And I think that's also something that's really important as coaches, is we do have to have a level of empathy where sometimes clients might make expectations and agreements with us that feel really hard for them to uphold, even if they've upheld them before. So it's really not letting them off the hook. It's sticking to your principles and saying, hey, look, like, I know things are tough right now, but like, this is what we agreed to. Meet me in the middle here, and then we're going to continue to reinforce these. And I think as coaches, that's our biggest responsibility, is creating that co-empowerment versus codependency. And also just not letting clients off the hook. I've had coaches before that their clients aren't hitting their macros for like 4 weeks in a row. And they're like, hey, you're doing a great job, like great check-in. And like, sure. But also, you can't just be a cheerleader coach either. You have to make sure that you're calling your clients out, because if not, you're not giving them the pattern interrupt that they need to actually shift their behavior. You're just enabling them to continue to stay on the bullshit that they've been doing. And so that's why the expectation setting is so important as a coach. And I think sometimes we get a little bit nervous to set expectations because we're afraid that we're going to push the client away, or we're afraid that we might lose the client because we have to call them out, or because we're setting strict expectations with them. When in reality, if we're not setting expectations with clients, we're just enabling them to do the same thing over and over again. And not only does that usually backfire on us, but also then you're also not getting the client results. And that alone is, that's the toughest part, right? That's a hard part for us to accept as a coach. And so we have to put our own identity to the side, and we have to stand up for our clients' results. We have to stand up for what we know they're capable of. And I think that was something for me, especially last year, that was the biggest shift, is I would get pushback sometimes when I called my clients out, and I sometimes would trigger them. And I think that there's a healthy level of triggering, right? Sometimes when you trigger a client, that means it's time to get really curious. Like, why did you calling them out trigger them so much? Usually because they know they're out of integrity. And so as coaches, we need to learn how to navigate that. Because when a client does break that expectation and we call them out and they're triggered, it's our job to also do it with love and say, hey, look, this is all out of love. But it's because I want you to make progress, and I'm not going to enable you to do the same thing over and over again. So we can't be afraid to call our clients out. Sometimes you have to give them a little bit of tough love in order for them to see the progress. Okay, lean into empathy. But when you let your own identity come into the play, when you let your own fear of losing the client come into play, oftentimes that ends up backfiring and kicking you in the ass. And I'm sure some of you guys are listening like, oh my God, I literally experienced that, and it's the worst thing ever. So I know that some of you guys can probably relate. But, you know, I think if we really want to have clients that are compliant, if we really want to have clients that see us as leaders, that see us and trust us, it's setting the expectation in the beginning. Because if you set an expectation where you have a contract, if you have an expectation where you say, hey, this is how you communicate with me, this is the level of expectation I have in terms of your communication, and here's what I expect when you don't communicate or when you're not on your bullshit, that's going to help you reinforce your client's results. And so as a coach, we all want our clients to get results. We all want our clients to be more compliant. And so you have to drop your own ego to make that happen sometimes. You have to be able to call your clients out. And the easiest way to do that is when you've already set the expectation, because all you're doing is pulling back in the conscious agreement that the client made with you in the beginning and saying, hey, look, this is what you agreed to. Hey, look, this is what we said was going to help you get progress. Now, I know it might be hard, but let's work together to say, how do we recalibrate next time? How do we uphold these commitments next time? What do you need to believe in order to actually commit to these things? Because someone can verbally make an agreement, someone can verbally commit, make a conscious agreement, but still not uphold them. And so it's your job as a coach to recognize what's the pattern interrupt, what's the behavior change, what's the core belief that needs to shift for the client to actually uphold the expectations that you're setting with them. So I hope you guys found this episode really, really valuable and really helpful. I know for myself personally, learning how to set expectations with my clients has been completely game-changing, not just in my clients' results, but also in the amount of time that I used to spend worrying whether or not my clients freaking hated me. I'm going to be super honest with you guys. I used to worry about this all the time. I would wonder if I was doing a good job as a coach. I'd worry back and forth if, you know, my clients liked me, if I was getting the results, and that energy transfers and your clients will worry if they're doing a good job. Your clients will worry if they're growing fast enough, losing weight fast enough. And so it's our job as a coach to remain secure in our own attachment, uphold our own principles and expectations so your clients can do the exact same thing. So I love you guys. I'm so excited to be back in podcasting. I'm so excited for all of the juicy content I will be pouring out at you guys. I have so many podcast episodes up my sleeve. I'll be releasing one a week right now. I'm going to uphold my commitment. I'm not going to be doing too many guests right now. I am going to focus on some solo episodes before I start bringing in more guests on the show. But if you guys have any requests, please feel free to just message me over on Instagram. You guys can find me at Kendall Strample, KendallStrampel. I will put that down in the show notes below. I'm also going to put our business blueprint down there. If you guys are a newer coach or just a coach who is looking to scale your business, whether you're at zero or 10 or 50K months, this business blueprint is a great way for you guys to just understand the principles that we teach at WWBA that can help you scale your business, grow your business to the next level with sanity and also while having fun, because let's be real, we do this shit for a living. We need to have some fun doing it. Okay. I love you guys and I will catch you in the next episode.